just to be here rather than moving.
I tell you, that Shelly, she'll work you to death.
I'll be glad when she goes back to work where I can get some rest.
Hallelujah.
Go ahead and turn with me to 1 Corinthians 14. Hallelujah, Jesus. I want to go over just a little bit, and then I'll share with you some things. Since we're focusing on prayer with this tonight, and it may be a little different, of course, than what you're used to or what you've known in the past. And again, it may be old stuff. I don't know. But anyhow, we're going to cover a few things here. Now, what you got to understand in 1 Corinthians here, Paul was trying to set not a program, but he was trying to correct some things that had been going on in the Corinthian church. And he was just trying to straighten out a few things. Nothing major. I don't believe that this is necessarily set in stone, a couple of these things that he was trying to get across. But he was giving them a format to follow. And so, starting in verse 2, "He who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries." And so we've gone over this before. You know, he speaks the mind of Christ from the throne room. It's not what we think. It's not what our mind thinks. But we're praying down God's will and the mind of Christ for our life. And so when we come here on Wednesday evenings, we're going to be praying down the will of God for our lives and for Tahlequah in Cherokee County. That's what we're going to be concentrating on. Now, Shelley, can I have that box there real quick? Now, this will be up here every Wednesday night. It may be here all week, I don't know, but it'll be up here at least every Wednesday night. And if you have a prayer request, whether it be for you or for someone else, we don't want to leave those out. But I can't go around the room all night long praying for different individuals. And besides that, I want to pray the correct way that God wants it done. I don't want to do it the way I think it ought to be done. I want to do it the way God thinks it ought to be done. And so, therefore, the only way to do that is to pray in other tongues. Now, I realize that after you've prayed in other tongues so long, or maybe even it's just a little while, you know, and you may get the interpretation on how God wants you to pray about a certain situation. But for the most part, he said that we don't know how to pray as we ought. So we'll pray in tongues and let God do the work. I mean, he's the one that's doing the work. So if you have a prayer request, what I'm getting at, we don't want to leave it out. And you say, well, I'd rather for a pastor to pray for my prayer request on Sunday. That's fine too. And then you can just turn around and put that request in this box, and people will be making intercession over it every Wednesday night. Amen? And so, but anyhow, he says, but he's outlining some things here. He says, "But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church." Now, there's a couple of things I want to get across to you. When you're in here praying on Wednesday nights, you're going to be edifying yourself. You're going to be building yourself up on your most holy faith, up above that doubt and unbelief that you have in your life that you don't realize you got. Because you can't have revival in Tahlequah with doubt and unbelief. You just can't do it. You can't get answered prayer with doubt and unbelief. How many would like to have answered prayer in their life besides me? I mean, if there's one thing I want people to realize that whenever they give me a prayer request, it's going to go through. I'm tired of unanswered prayer. I want answered prayer. And so, another thing is that when you're building yourself up like this, it gives you the opportunity then to come into a place that you haven't been before and start changing your city, your town, your county, changing it because you have the faith necessary to do it. See, we have to have that faith. Well, we have to start somewhere. And Wednesday night would be a good place to start. And I think you're going to find that as you come here on Wednesday nights, there's going to be some things happen. One thing is, you're going to want to pray more after a little while, because you're going to be used to praying more in other tongues, more than what you have been up until this point, some of you. Amen? Go ahead and say amen. Because I already know it anyhow. And so that's going to happen. You're going to want to pray more after you've done this for a while. The other thing that's going to happen, I know this by experience, is that, let me just give you the example, and then I'm just going to tell you that example is going to happen here. When we started at the prayer center doing this in Tulsa, we had quite a bit of anointing, a few. But what began to happen, the more we spent time on a prayer day or night, whatever we had, it changed a couple of different times. But the more we had this designated prayer, let me just call it designated prayer. The more we had designated prayer, what began to happen is it began that when you come into that building immediately, you can say, well, you can call it the anointing, you can call it the Holy Spirit, but it would hit you full on the face. And you would want to immediately start praying, and it would be easier to pray. That was the big thing that began to happen. People would come from other towns, other churches, and say, my goodness, I walked in here, I didn't realize it was so easy to pray until I walked into this place. And that's what's going to happen here. The Holy Spirit's presence is going to be more prevalent and stronger. And that's what we want. It starts here. Yes, if it starts in another church, great. No problem. But it's going to start here. If it starts with 8 individuals, then great. No problem. We'll take 8 individuals. There'll be others that'll come in later from other places. They'll come in wondering what's going on. And we'll just have to quietly tell them what is going on. That we're having prayer night. And just go ahead and sit down and pray with us. We'd love to have them. We want all that we can get. We're not going to change the format just because they're new. We're going to keep right on going, but we will explain to them what's going on. And to get back on what I was saying here, Paul was trying to just keep things in order a little bit. He says in verse 13, therefore let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What he was talking about was a public assembly. Wednesday night is going to be designated for prayer. It's not a church service. It's not a public assembly in that it's designated for prayer. And he goes on, he says, what is the conclusion? Then I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. That's the way it is in a public assembly, when we're having a church service. That's the way it's, if you break out in tongues, we expect an interpretation either from you or from somebody. And I've noticed here that it usually happens. I've been in some places it didn't happen. And he was talking about, you know, what it was. They was having one over here, one over here, one over here, one over here. It was probably just totally out of order, and he was setting some structure in the church. That's why he said, let one or two... we'll just go ahead and read it. Then he's talking to them about how they're going to keep this in order, but then he goes ahead in verse 18 and says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. He said, even though I want you to keep a little bit of order, I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than you all. He didn't limit the tongues. What he was doing was just setting an order for a church service, for a public assembly. He didn't want people popping up everywhere, prophesying and giving tongues and interpretation. So he was trying to say, look, let's limit it to two or three and keep it in order. But he said, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. You know, I can just see Paul going everywhere speaking in tongues because, you know, he all his revelation came from this. John G. Lake gave credit to the business ideas, the healings and the miracles, to the tongues that he spoke at night. So this is not nothing new, folks. This really is not nothing new. You know, so I believe that what will happen is we will change, the city will change, the county will change, and others that come in will change. You can't have what you are here to have without change. That includes myself. I want to change some more. I'm not done changing. I know some of you thought I was done changing, especially my wife, but I'm not done changing. But he was just setting some order and some structure. That's all there was to it. It wasn't anything more than that. He said, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than y'all yet in the church. I would rather speak five words of my understanding that I may teach others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Once again, he's talking about a public assembly, a church service, you might say. All right, go to Romans chapter 8. I want to start there in... we'll start in verse 26. 8:26, Romans 8:26. The reason I said that about intercession, people think, well, intercession is that you start praying in tongues all of a sudden and you're just bawling and squalling and kicking and screaming on the floor and crowing like a rooster, and you're in intercession. Look, if you want to do some of that, we have some rooms back here. We'll be glad to lead you to one of those rooms. If you keep doing it, then I'll acknowledge, yes, you are in intercession. If you don't and you quit, well, it must have not have been intercession. Because just because you have an audience doesn't mean that you're to do that. That's not intercession, usually. It's usually not. All right, I got that part out of the way. Okay, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which, what? Cannot be uttered. Cannot be uttered. So see, we don't know all the time exactly. Now we can You know, we can do our best in the understanding to pray for revival for Tahlequah and for the surrounding area. But we can't pray it perfectly. But God can. And He can pray for us perfectly, ourselves, each one of us perfectly. But we can't. So I would want it perfectly. And as much as I want Pastor praying for me, as much as I want Linda praying for me and Judy praying for me, as much as I appreciate that, I want God praying for me even more. And I expect the same out of you. As much as you want me praying for you, you want God to pray for you even more. You want Him to make intercession on your behalf. And we're going to be making intercession. Since we're designated, you say, well, how, if you're not doing anything to make sure that people understand that you're praying for Tahlequah and revival, well, we don't care whether we make it clear to people. We're designated Wednesday night as prayer night for these prayer requests and for the city and for our lives. And that's it. From now on, Wednesday night until further notice, it is designated as prayer for the city. And God knows that. He spoke to Pastor about it. He had spoke to me about it. I hadn't said anything because if he needs something done in this church, he won't speak to one of us. He'll speak to the pastor. He's the one he put in charge of this church, so he'll speak to him. See? Well, he spoke to him and designated this night as prayer night for revival. For revival in our lives, for change, transformation. You know, there's nothing easy about transformation, but we have to have it. But He'll make intercession on our behalf, and because we've designated this night, because we've designated this night as prayer, God understands what we want and what we're praying for. Now, if He puts something on my heart and says, I want you to stop and pray something in the understanding over a situation or over the city, then we'll stop and we'll do that. And then we'll pick right up and keep praying in tongues. Alright, now, about this issue of praying out loud or praying silently. You're not going to do any more good if you're shouting. I don't know why anybody would shout in tongues. I mean, I know a lot of them that do, but I don't understand why, because they're not praying to the devil. See, we're praying to God, and God hears us whether we're praying quietly. As long as we make the syllables with our mouth, it doesn't matter whether you have some volume to it or whether you don't. You can get just as much done praying quietly all evening long as praying out loud. But I have seen some pray a little bit out loud, no problem. I don't have any problem with that. But when they get to shouting in tongues, I sort of draw the line on that one. Because you're not going to do anything because the devil can't understand you. See, he doesn't understand the tongues. That's a prayer language between you and God. But he's making intercession on our behalf. And we want him to, concerning revival here in Tahlequah. We want him to make intercession because we want revival over this city and over this area. And it'll be a step-by-step change. Don't expect, just because we've prayed a month on Wednesday nights, that revival's going to break out in the city. Hey, if it does, glory to God, I'm all for it. But if it doesn't, I'm not quitting. That's right.
Endurance is still the key. Just like you can't get tired of confession, because it's going to take as long as it takes, and endurance is the key. Well, it's the same way in prayer. Endurance is the key. And we just keep right on going. If we have to change it to a different night and pastor says we need to, then we'll do that. But we're starting out designating Wednesday night as prayer. Yes, you are making intercession for this city, for this area, for those prayer requests, for things in your lives. God knows. Hey, He's with us. He's working with us, not against us. There ain't no use trying to pray in the understanding and praying wrong when you could pray in other tongues and get it right. See, I want to get it right. So he says, let me just finish this here. I know this has been a little scattered, but I sort of intended for it to be. I wanted him to direct me toward each part that he wanted me to go over tonight. I mean, there's lots of things in here that I could bring out, but he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. See, God knows what needs to change in this city. He knows what needs to change in this county. He knows what needs to change in me. What needs to change in DJ. He knows all of that. And He's making intercession on our behalf according to His will. Glory to God. I just love that. This whole passage right here, one of my favorite passages, because I think, my goodness, you know, a Baptist asked me one time, said, why do you pray in tongues? Because I want God to pray for me. I want to yield myself where He can pray for me on my behalf. Whatever is necessary for change, whatever. Hey, I feel really blessed. I'm going to tell you right now. I feel really blessed. I'm really happy with the way things are going. Yes, I'd like to have more people in the church. So would everybody. But I am happy with the way things are going. And I believe that it's going the way God wants it to go. And there's going to be some that don't like it and get up and leave. You know, at the prayer center, the first thing that happened was I just don't believe in sitting in there and not saying anything, just praying under your breath in tongues, or praying semi, a little bit of volume in tongues. I don't believe that. So, you know, they would either change or leave. Nobody told them to leave. They just wouldn't accept what God had set forth. Well, finally we got down to where the people that accepted it and wanted to do it, and the more they done it, the more they wanted to go in there and pray. They accepted it. So we go along there. The next phase, we've kind of done it a little bit backwards here, but the next phase was confession. Well, a different group of people popped up. I don't like confession. You're chanting. You're chanting. I don't like that chanting. I'm not going to do it. So they wouldn't show up. Well, it's still going today. That was 12 or 13, 14, 15 years ago. It's still going today. It didn't stop anything just because somebody didn't like it. I'm sorry that they don't like it. You know, I feel blessed. I wish they were blessed. You know, I want them to be blessed. I want everybody to be blessed. And everybody will be blessed. Will some changes hurt? Probably so. Who cares? You know, let's just keep going. Let's do something with this. See? You can always be what the other churches in town are. I'm not saying anything bad against them. I'm just saying they're a certain way. You can always go that route. They have for 100 years and ain't done any good. You know, why not do something else that changes things? And this is the prayer that changes you and changes things.
searches the hearts, knows what the mind and spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Well, you can't take that out of context. Well, it must have been God's will. He got slapped upside the head, got in a car wreck to straighten him out. No, that's not it at all. All things work together for the good to those that offer themselves over to God and lets him makes intercession for him, for them. See? Those that turn themselves over to God, all things work together for the good. You understand? You turn yourself over to God, let him make intercession on your behalf, and things are going to work out the right way, the right direction. And hopefully along the way you won't be in any car wrecks. And blame God. Give God the credit for your car wreck. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed in the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So, what we want to do is we'll come in here. We'll come in here on Wednesday evenings. Unless God says something, we won't have any praise and worship. If He puts on my heart to have somebody to do a song, then we'll do a song. But if not, we just come in and sit down. Now this is Wednesday night. Is what?
Yeah.
It's not talking night. We'll come in here at 6:30 and we'll probably do some confession at some point or the other. I'll probably just listen to God when He wants me to do confession. We'll do confession. Otherwise, we'll come in here, sit down, begin to pray in the Spirit, and we'll do that until, what do we decide, 8 o'clock? Yeah, 8 o'clock. Yeah. So we're not taking any more time than what you would if you came in here for a church service on Wednesday evening. Now if later, if we all feel like, hey, let's extend it or something, then we'll extend it. Or if I feel like we're supposed to, then we'll extend it. But right now, 6:30 to 8, we come in, we sit down, we begin to pray in the Spirit. It's not a talking session. It's not for you to come in and visit. Once 6:30 rolls around, just sit down, chair, walk around. You can walk around and pray. I know this one lady in Tulsa that walked 90 miles an hour while she was praying. You know, nobody stopped her because what will happen is exhaustion will stop her. I'm not exaggerating much, am I? Maybe a little bit on the 90 miles an hour. She was power walking while she was praying. And so you can walk around and pray. You can sit down in the chair. You can lay down in the floor. There we've done it most of the night or most of the day. If it was on Saturdays, we've done it during most of the day for 8 hours a day. And at night, we've done it 6 or 8 hours. Well, some of them would bring their sleeping bag to lay on in the floor. So you can lay down, stretch out on the floor, pray. I just want to see mouths moving. And that's not talking to each other. Just the mouths moving. And them tongues. And I know, you know, if you haven't done much to get ready for this, you're going to, after about 30 minutes, your mouth is going to be dry. Tongue is going to be stiff. Your throat's going to be dry. But you'll get used to it. Just keep going. Just keep going. Go get you a drink of water. We've got a good water fountain back there. Go get you a drink of water. We've got a water fountain back there. You can accept that a little bit better. We've got a water fountain back there. Go get you a drink of water and just keep going.
Tied to the other end of it.
In Killer Lake, tied to the other end of it. So anyhow, just keep praying.
And some people are like, well, what about reading? Well, the only thing that would be acceptable if you were reading your Bible, but really, I'm not too crazy about that because you come in here to pray. You didn't come in here to study and meditate. See? That's for another time. So, I would really rather that you just come in and pray in other tongues. Like I said, if God lays it on my heart that we need to stop and pray in the understanding over a situation or over something, then we'll stop and we'll do it. But for the most part, we come in, we sit down, pray. Alright, now I'm going to get to the tough stuff. All you prophets, hang your mantle up at the door when you come in. Come in, glue your breeches to the chair, and start praying. Get my drift? As we get more people, there'll be people who want to prophesy to each other. This is a prayer night. That's for some other time. I'm just going by what I've seen in the past. On the box that's up here, like I said, it's for if you want to put in a prayer request. Like I've got two tonight that I'm putting in. And these will stay in here till this box is full, and then they'll be poured into a bigger box. So you just write out, keep it short, John Doe, marriage, John Doe, finances. Put in a little slip of paper, whatever. Put it in there. Every now and then, you're going to see me come up here and lay my hands on it and begin to pray in other tongues. I expect you to do the same at some point during the night, on Wednesday night. Amen? You know, I've just been asked to conduct this night. You're to be a part of it also. Your mouth is going to be moving. You're going to be putting your hands on the box so you can make intercession on those prayer requests that are in there. Of course, it's a bigger place, but the prayer center in Tulsa has changed boxes several times, getting a bigger box each time. The last time I checked, it was crammed full of prayer requests from all over the world. People calling in, would you put in a prayer request? And then we'll take testimony sometime of a prayer request that's in the box that got answered. See, I want you to be edified, and you will be. Edified, though, means leaving some stuff behind. When you're edified, you're built up. You're built up and leaving stuff in your life behind, changing it. Transformation, just like Linda talked about Sunday morning, I think it was, up there at the piano. Transformation. That's what this is all about. The more you're transformed, the more faith you have for your city out there, for your relatives, your enemies, your family, your friends. See? Hallelujah.
This is not a time to minister to one another.
No. Not.
Unless the Lord specifically directs you.
Right. But more than likely, He won't. Like I said, prophets hang the mantles up at the door. It's not a healing service. It's not a church service. It's a prayer night. Designating it for prayer. Now, after we're done, if you need a healing or something like that, you just come tell me. We'll all lay hands on you, and you'll be healed. But the prayer night is this designated prayer time. It's for prayer. Any other questions? I'll try to answer anything. I've covered about what I intended to cover tonight. Now, as we go along, if I have to cover something else, I'll probably do it at the beginning. Or maybe, I'd say that it may not be either. but no, we're not going to all gather in a circle and pray out loud. We're not going to do that. We're coming in here to offer ourselves in prayer and just let God do His work. Any other questions? Shelley, what time is it?